everyone. This is Dr. Pamela Brewer welcoming you to this edition of Mind Talk. Today we're going to meet a couple who have been through some challenging medical experiences, and we will learn what the medical experiences were and are and how they're navigating. I am very pleased to introduce you to Kristen Gradney and Chad Gradney. Mr. and Mrs., how are you doing today?
Fine. Doing well. Thank you for having us.
Well, let me get to the heart of this issue, which is how the two of you met. Tell me how you, Chad, how did you meet Kristen?
Okay, so Kristen and I, we are actually high school sweethearts. We actually met there in high school, and we actually grew up together as kids and as adults, and eventually got married and started a family.
Did you know in high school that she was the one, Kristen? Chad?
Yeah, I would like to say yes. When I met her, I actually went home and told my parents that I actually found the one.
And how old were you?
Which is funny because we were young.
I was going to say, yeah. Chad, how old were you when you found the one?
18.
That's pretty young.
18 years old. Senior in high school.
All right. And Kristen, how about you? Did you know he was the one?
You know, at the time, he told me he was the one. I can remember him saying, you know, the very first time we met, that he loved me. And I went home and told my mom, you know, oh, my goodness, I met this boy. And I said boy, and he was just, you know, I was infatuated with him. And, you know, that was kind of the end of the story. We just have, you know, been best friends ever since.
Well, you know, a lot of times parents, particularly when their children are young, will give them the speech about, you know, there are lots of people for you to meet, you need to take your time, and on and on. Did either of your parents give you that speech?
My parents didn't really. My parents have been always very supportive, and, you know, they just gave me space. They, like Chad, we were from, you know, the same area, so they knew his family. Ironically, his dad used to come to my grandfather's farm where we lived and saw me as a little girl running around. So it was, you know, we just had so many connections that I don't think they ever, you know, questioned us. They supported us.
It almost sounds like it was meant to be.
Yes.
When did you, Chad, when did you actually pop the question? Were you nervous?
Nervous? No, I was not. It was actually, like I said, we had been together, oh my God, through end of high school, we went through college. So I would say it was that time, you know. So I was ready to move on with life, start a new chapter with her, you know.
And my guess, since the two of you did get married, is that, Kristen, you were ready as well.
Yes, probably more ready than he was. But, you know, we had been together. We had been together, like you said, a long time. And we were both kind of closing chapters. We were finishing college and knew that, you know, there wasn't really anyone else for us.
Yeah.
So there was no reason not to at that point. We, you know, we were almost living a married life. So we said we might as well just.
Might as well go ahead and make it official, huh?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, it was during your engagement that Chad actually went to the hospital with some chest pains. Chad, what was going on for you? Do you remember that day that you first went to the hospital?
Yes, but before that day, I like to just, you know, say that like a year prior to that, we got engaged. Well, we were getting married in 05, and in 04, I actually lost my dad to a massive heart attack. One morning, basically died in my arms, you know, and fast forward a year later, 2 months before the wedding, and I woke up one morning with extreme pain in my my rib cage on my left side, and went to the emergency room, and doctors did a heart cath on me and found that I needed to have an emergency quadruple bypass immediately.
Chad, how old were you at that point?
I was actually 27 years old, physically fit, always exercised. I was an athlete in high school, football captain of my team, always kept up that regimen, like I said, throughout college, just working out. And at that time, Kristen, I think she was finished. She was actually a dietitian at the time, getting ready to finish as a dietitian. So we were basically, following, making the life changes that we needed to have to just live a healthy lifestyle.
I can't imagine, Chad, for you, your dad had died just the year before. You wake up with chest pains. All kinds of things must have been running through your head.
Yes, yes. Just very scared, very shocking.
And Kristen, what about you? Did you realize as Chad was on the way to the hospital that he was on the way to the hospital?
I did. I remember vividly. I was sitting in the computer lab about to go into one of my final exams, and his sister called me and said they were on their way to the emergency room with Chad, but she was very calm, and she said, we're just going in. He's not feeling well. I knew he had not been feeling well. There was one day that he called me and said, I can't walk to my car from my class. Can you pick me up and bring me to my car? And I did. We said, you must be stressed. Maybe you have asthma. The doctor told him he had reflux. So we were thinking, it was one of those things.
Anxiety from the passing of my father.
Right. We knew that he had had a lot of stress. So having that call, I knew he wasn't feeling well, but I had no idea what it was going to lead us to. I could have imagined.
Well, and just getting a call that at his young age that he couldn't walk to his car, I would think that would have been frightening in and of itself.
It was, but knowing the stress that he had been under, like you mentioned, his father basically died in his arms. Chad had been the one who tried to save him. He did CPR. He was there with him, and that took a really tough toll on Chad. They were really close. I loved him like a second father. So it had been a really tough year. So we were just thinking it was a combination of all of the stress. Still couldn't really wrap our minds around something this life-threatening that was causing this.
So when you got to the hospital, Chad, and you were told that they were keeping you, that you were getting ready to have surgery and significant surgery, what was going on through your mind, Chad?
Actually, I was actually just in denial, I guess. Just could not believe that this was happening to me. And I can remember at the early age of 8 years old, my daddy coming home from having a quadruple bypass. And, just seeing the lifestyle he lived and, till he passed and just thinking, well, will this be my role? Will this be my lifestyle? Just a lot of questions and denial and, just being scared and everything. And just maybe the fact not even not making it through the surgery, is this the end, So.
Very scary thoughts. And Kristen, for you, at what point did you get to the hospital, Kristen?
I got to the hospital and he was still in the emergency room. So I was there when they decided that they needed to do a procedure to determine if he had blockages and, was standing in the room when the cardiologist came in and told us, that he really had to have emergency surgery really within the next 24 hours, or his life would be uncertain. And I can remember standing in the ICU with my parents over him and, thinking how are we going to make it through this? Where are we going from here? Our wedding is in 2 months. Are we having a wedding? Do we need to have a wedding now? It was just so overwhelming and so such a blur, to be honest. And Chad was in and out of it. They sedated him a good bit. So, I couldn't even really talk to him. It was very scary, a time that I never want to go through again in my life, to be honest.
Scary for both of you and both of you together, yet in your own ways, feeling very alone, I'm sure.
Yes.
Absolutely. Definitely. And it's very hard for other people to understand because we were both so young at the time. No one could really understand what it's like to go through something like that so young, right before you're getting married and you're supposed to be starting a new life. You know, all of our friends were off getting married and, you know, starting careers, and we had a different path, just a totally different path.
Yeah. You were staring at a major surgery. You had the surgery, you survived the surgery. What kind of guidance were you given by the doctors, Chad, after the surgery?
Basically, you know, after a successful surgery, I kept up with my cardiologist on a regular regimen, like a 6-month basis. I was prescribed cholesterol medications, blood pressure medications, told to eat a healthy, lean diet and exercise, you know, weekly. And basically, I followed that regimen, you know, every day, taking prescribed medications, eating healthy, exercising, starting from my few steps after the surgery to building myself up to fast walking, to eventually jogging and going to back to a regular lifestyle, you know, physically.
Was that significantly different, Chad, from the lifestyle you were living prior to the surgery?
I would say the kind of the diet wise, being that, you know, just because we're from Louisiana and the culture here, you know, food is a big part of our lifestyles, and celebrating and death and just about any aspect of life, you know, food is involved in our culture and our lifestyle every day. So that was kind of hard for me to change, because the food is so good here. And, you know, like I said, it is a part of the lifestyle. But as far as, you know, the working out, I mean, that was a part of my lifestyle. Taking the medications, it was different for me, but it wasn't hard, because, you know, at that point it was like I just came out this major surgery. So it's like, you need to take this medication to live and to have a healthy lifestyle. So, like I said, I followed that regimen.
Now, at the point that you had the surgery, you were both out of school at that point. Is that correct, or what was your life like, Chad, on a regular basis?
Actually, I was a senior in college, commuting hour commute. Basically, just going to school and working. A typical lifestyle, getting ready to advance, like I said, to the family and career mode. Just trying to dot all the T's and the I's and T's and move on.
And Kristen, you were in school as well.
Yes, I was in almost my last, I think I was in my first semester of my senior year and had one more semester after that, and had to do an internship after that. So we were looking at lots of change, you know, possibly having to move and, you know, thinking, what did that mean? But our day-to-day was, you know, we were both going to school and going to work. And, you know, Chad, this was at the end of one of his semester, you know, almost, I think it was his second to last semester, and couldn't finish the semester because, you know, obviously he had major surgery and couldn't take finals, and so had to start over again. And, you know, we had to fight for getting him in completes and being able to make up all of his classes. And so that did push his graduation back a semester. But so we both jumped back into school, kept going, pushed really hard. We both finished, you know, I think a few months, or probably a few semesters later after the surgery.
It's hard to imagine that you would have to fight to get incompletes. What was going on with school?
To be honest with you, I really don't know how to explain that. Like I said, I was kind of sedated and everything. So I think it was Kristen and my sister, they were kind of handling things with their school, you know, explaining to them that I was having emergency surgery, but that they were on there, saying that I had to be there for the finals, or, you know, I would receive a failing grade in them, you know. So, but eventually Kristen and my sister, they fought to get the incompletes, and I was allowed to take my finals, and, eventually graduate. So it worked out.
My mouth is dropping open. I mean, I just can't even imagine being told, well, you've got to, you know, essentially get off the surgery table and take this test or you're going to fail. Amazing. Yes. What were your plans post-graduation and prior to the surgery? What had you seen your lives like? You knew you were getting married, and then what were the plans?
We had a lot of plans. I mean, we saw our lives being very successful. At one time Chad thought he wanted to be a physical therapist and a massage therapist, and kind of saw his path going that way. I knew that I was going to have to move and do an internship, and we both, had a vision of very successful lives in every way, financially, emotionally, we would be together. And that changed a significant amount. The life we live today is wonderful. I couldn't ask for more, but it's a lot different than what we envisioned. We started our life with tons of medical bills and financial responsibilities that many couples don't have until, late in life, at the end of their life. We started out our lives that way. And so it changed just the progression. And Chad will tell you a little bit more, I'm sure, but he works for himself now. He found himself not having the stamina to deal with stress in the positions that he held at work, and he was going to the hospital frequently. So he started his own company and now works for himself. So, like I said, we live a wonderful life, but it's not exactly the path that we thought we would go down. It's just a different road.
I can imagine.
It's like when you take your vows, they say for healthy or sick. So it's like we started with the sick, before they're healthy. Mm-hmm. It's like we started with the bad before the good.
Yeah, we started with the poor before the rich.
So I guess it was just our test trial relationship and everything. So,
was there ever a point when either one of you thought, "What am I doing? I don't want to get married. What am I doing?"
That's a funny question. I can remember. Our trip from, they were transporting me to another hospital for the surgery, and Kristen was riding in the ambulance with me, and I can remember me telling her, like, you don't have to marry me, like, I'm sick, I might not even make it, like, just go ahead on, like, enjoy your life, move on, like, you don't have to, don't let me be a burden to you. Like, I can remember that very vividly. I had made that decision a long time ago. Like, I didn't want to be a burden to her, So, or an anchor, what would you say?
At 27 years old, just amazing.
Yes, yes.
Kristen, what was your reaction when he told you that you didn't have to stay?
As he's saying that, I'm getting emotional. It wasn't even a thought in my mind. And I was the opposite. I was thinking maybe we should get a priest here now and get married now, because regardless, I knew that he was the man I was going to marry, regardless of the outcome. So I didn't care what was going to happen. I didn't care how the surgery ended up. I didn't care if he was going to be, if it changed who he was going to be. So I was thinking, there's no way I'm listening to him. He's medicated and delusional right now. We may need to get a priest here to marry us before the surgery. But my family was, and his family was hopeful, and mm-hmm. We come from a very spiritual family, and they said, no, he will be at the wedding. We will have a wedding. We don't need to plan that right now.
And so you did.
We'll walk him in or will him in.
Yeah.
Folks.
And that is exactly what, we said, we'll walk him in or he'll be wheeled down the aisle. However, we have to do it.
But he's going down the aisle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Folks, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will continue our conversation with Kristen and Chad Gradney. Don't go away, folks. dad, after the surgery, after the wedding, mm-hmm. you're now married to a dietitian who, as she mm-hmm. says, counted every fat gram, every bit of cholesterol and sodium. I don't know if it made you a little bit crazy at some point, but I mean, it certainly sounds like she was completely on your diet. She knew down to the T what you were ingesting, but still there was an issue with your cholesterol. What was going on?
So we got married in 05, 7 years later, I think 2012, had been taking my medications, working out, eating good. Like you said, Kristen is a dietitian, eating good. 2012, I found myself back in the emergency room with the same symptoms, pain in my rib cage, shortness of breath and everything. So they did a emergency heart cath, and found out that three of my four bypasses had actually, they were failing. Basically, they were blocked again.
Did that make any sense to any of you, Kristen, Chad? What were your thoughts?
Well, we, throughout that time period, so from 2005 to 2012, his cholesterol had been up and down. It would go up, and it was high, and then, you know, the doctors would try to tweak something, and it would go down. And then it would go back up, and it was never really controlled, I guess, to the level it should have been. And we had switched cardiologists a few times, kind of searching for an answer, but we thought, you know, we put all our trust in the cardiologist. I, you know, like you mentioned, was watching what we ate. We were very specific. I mean, we had treat days on the calendar so that we knew there was one day a month when we could, you know, kind of go off of the plan, but we thought we were doing everything that we could until that moment. And then we realized, like, something is going on. And that's when I kind of started to do some research, and we said, there, in my mind, I said, I know that there are genetic disorders. Is there something else going on? What is happening? I have to find somebody who knows, because we were back to square one and even in worse situation than we had been the first time.
Because after the results of the hard cap, basically the doctor's plans were basically to stabilize me and basically to put me on a heart transplant list at that point.
Oh, so, my God.
Yes.
That's pretty scary. Yeah, that's pretty scary.
Yes. Yes.
Now, you talked about a cardiologist who, Chad, told you to follow the diet, stop watching the news at night, and begin mm-hmm. journaling. What were your thoughts about that guidance?
We were just puzzled, like, oh, my gosh. And I actually quit watching the news at night, and to think it would actually help with the anxiety, or, you know, but that was a first for me. But, you know, you trust the doctors, you trust what they say, they're the doctors. So, you know, I did what he said, but it was just like, okay, but I don't think Kristen was too happy with that. You know, we expected more, and I think she did express her feelings about that.
You know, Kristen,
I was always pretty vocal.
You and I have never met, but I can almost see you. I can almost see the look on your face when the doctor tells your husband, okay, I want you to journal. I want you to stop at surgery now. Journal, stop watching the news, and it'll be good. I can almost see the look on your face.
Yeah, and it's probably an accurate depiction, because I've always been pretty vocal, and I've always been an advocate for myself and for Chad especially. But it just didn't, it never quite made sense. And I just felt like we were always chasing after a solution or an answer, you know, whether it was his cholesterol or his anxiety or the depression, or, you know, we were always trying to chase after an answer and push further. And it just, we could never get there.
And, you know, one of the things that I hope we are better at with the medical profession today than perhaps yesterday is the awareness that any sort of, even if it just seems like it might be a chronic condition, depression is going to be in there. Anxiety is going to be in there. Mm-hmm. And I hope we're better at addressing that with patients, with their families. I hope. Kristen, what do you think?
You know, recently, I feel like we have been better about it. It's interesting. We do, you know, we go to several different doctors, and we know that there's one particular doctor who gets it. And so Chad will go to him, you know, and he acknowledges that this is real and that it's a part of his disease process and that it has to be treated. And our life has been much better since then. My life has been much better since then. You know, just it's really stressful. Every day is, you know, a different day, and we don't know what to expect. Or, you know, Chad is wondering, is today the day that I'm not going to feel well? And so I think having that treatment and that support, that somebody acknowledges his feelings are real, you know, has really helped us. We've come a long way in the past few years in that area.
Which is really wonderful. At some point, there was a new diagnosis that came into play. How did that diagnosis come about?
So this was, it was right after Chad had been, you know, told that he had blockages again. And I can remember sitting in his hospital room with the laptop and searching and saying, you know, that was at the point where I said there had something else is going on. We have to find someone who knows what's going on. And so I was Googling and searching and came upon the FH Foundation. And when I found them, I started reading and I sent them an email immediately because I knew after reading that this was it. I kind of felt like, oh my gosh, you know, this is what he has. And there are obviously other people with it who are living a different life and who have a different, you know, treatment. So I contacted them and simultaneously, I have an uncle who's a doctor and he was at a conference with some cardiologists and mentioned Chad's situation. And the cardiologist at Johns Hopkins, Dr. Nisha Chandra Strobos, and she has been a lifesaver for us. She said, I can help him. Just tell him to come see me. I can help him. And so we had a one-year-old at the time who had just turned one. We got my parents to stay with him. We packed up our things and we flew to Baltimore and we met with her. We also met with a lipidologist. She had a whole slew of tests and meetings for us when we got there. And immediately we were told, you know, this is familial hypercholesterolemia. It's not your fault. You know, it's just your genetic predisposition. You know, this is a genetic disorder that is pretty common, but it's vastly underdiagnosed and it causes high levels of cholesterol. So when they told us that, you know, she knew exactly what to do. She said, I know exactly what to put you on. I know exactly how to treat you, and you will be able to dance at your son's wedding one day. So from that point forward, you know, we had her on our team. She had changed things for Chad. His cholesterol got better. He started to feel better. And we developed this relationship with the FH Foundation, and we became patient advocates. And they are just amazing, and they have really helped us through the situation because they're really the world's leading research and advocacy organization for people like Chad who have FH. And to be honest, without them, I don't know that we could navigate this crazy journey.
And again, FH is familial hypercholesterolemia. It's not something that you hear in everyday language, in an everyday conversation.
No.
It's not. And to be honest, we should hear it more. You know, everyone knows diabetes and breast cancer. And familial hypercholesterolemia really affects about 1 in 250 people. And that's a pretty significant number. But the thing is that 90% of people who have it walk around undiagnosed, just like Chad. You know, he walked around for many years being untreated with these crazy high levels of cholesterol that have now led us back to where we were because no one really knows it. You know, that name is not really heard a whole lot and people don't know how to handle it.
When people hear about high cholesterol, the assumption is that there's just something that you are not doing, that it's something that you've created, you're not doing it, you just need to change your diet, take medication, and it'll be okay. But that's not the case with FH.
No, that is definitely not the case. you know, diet and exercise are important for anybody's diet, you know, for anybody's lifestyle. But the FH is really an inherited disorder. And it's from genetic mutations. Either you can get it from your dad or you can get it from your mom or you can get it from both. And that determines how severe it is. But this is a disorder that requires lifelong medication. So it cannot just be controlled with diet and exercise. It can be helped, but you have to be on medication for the rest of your life, which is, as Chad can tell you, you know, like, we always knew he'd have to be on medication. He's not so fond of it, but we know now that this is something that we have, you know, that he has to do for the rest of his life to maintain this disease, this disorder.
Yeah.
You know, I'm wondering, you're sitting, Kristen, you're sitting in a hospital room doing a search online, and you just happen to come up with this information that really seems to fit your husband. I wonder what would have happened if you hadn't happened upon the FH Foundation information.
You know, if I hadn't happened upon it, I think, to be honest, at some point we would have found it. I just don't know how soon. You know, one thing that I have to say is that we really have to be advocates for ourselves and for the ones that we love. And so I strongly believe in that. And I would have beat down every door that I could find to get the right answer. But that's not the case for everyone. So, you know, it's just becoming aware and recognizing that we have to kind of become advocates and do some research and figure out, okay, well, if this isn't working, there has to be something that is. So I'm grateful that I found them as quickly as I did, like sitting in the hospital room, because before we left, we had a plan. And if we hadn't, you know, maybe things wouldn't have progressed or turned around so quickly. But it's, I do believe that it was, our path was laid out for a reason, that way that we found it so quickly.
Now, you also mentioned that you have a child. And you've,
yes,
you've said that FH is inherited.
Yes. And Chad, you know, has been very passionate about that. And he has, you know, recognized what he's going through as a child with his father. And we actually have two children. We have a 6-year-old son and we have an 18-month-old daughter. And since our son was 2, we have partnered with our pediatrician. We educated her on the disorder that Chad has, familial hypercholesterolemia, and how it's genetic, and we want to be proactive with our son. So when he was 2, we had a full lipid panel done and a lipoprofile to kind of give us an idea of what we were dealing with. And a lipidologist reviewed it, gave us, you know, some tips and a plan. And so we have his cholesterol monitored every year. And when our daughter turns 2, we'll do the same with her. Children with this family history should start to be screened at 2, and so we are definitely abiding by that.
Tell us about just the sense of perhaps relief, the sense of perhaps concern as you became aware of FH and what it in fact was. Chad, what about you? You were getting information that you'd never had before about your medical health.
It was actually a big relief because now we had the answer to our question. You know, that it was FH, that it was no longer my fault, that, you know, it wasn't a blame game anymore. And, you know, having the FH in our corner gave us a lot of resources. It actually put me in contact with other people that was actually going through the same problems, the same lifestyle changes, the same struggles, you know, with FH. So it was just a big relief to me just knowing that I wasn't alone anymore, or like this, when I would go into the hospital, they looked at me as like this medical unicorn, like, come on, everybody, come see this guy. You know, he's like, I was such a interesting case study when I went into the hospital because I was young and fit with this major heart problem. So, like I said, I wasn't alone anymore because the FH Foundation gave me a whole nother family and more resources to just understand the disease and cope with it.
Were there times, Chad, when you were blaming yourself for your illness?
Actually, you know, until I was actually diagnosed, the doctors blame me. I blame myself. I think, at some points, Kristen even blamed me at some points, and I was just like, I'm doing something wrong. Maybe just not taking the medications. I'm cheating on my diet. You know, it was just like, you know, it was always pointing back to me at some time.
You said the doctors were blaming you. What were the doctors saying to you?
Well, you know, when I would go back for my lipid screen, as my cholesterol numbers would be elevated, you know, even taking the medications, and you know, the doctors would just, you know, say that's impossible. The medication should be working. Your numbers should be this. So you're either not taking the medications, or you're just eating too much McDonald's or something like that. You know, it has to be you, because, you know, we have this plan, the plan should work, and it's not.
For Kristen, for you, finding out what in fact was likely to be the case for your husband and then being able to connect to the foundation, how did that impact your life and your stress levels?
It really helped me because I felt that we were empowered now. So I felt a little bit of a burden being lifted, because I knew that I had an additional support system. Our family was a support system, but in a different way. They still fully didn't understand what was going on and how our struggle was a little bit different. So finding FH Foundation, we became advocates. We started having a voice. We wanted to help other people. So that gave us like a channel to put some of our energy towards, but it also gave us access to doctors and researchers that we would have never had access to before. So we not only had other people to ask questions to or bounce ideas off of, but we had other people who were going through the same thing who could say, oh yeah, Chad, I tried this, or oh yeah, I had those leg cramps too. You know, it was a support system and a source of resources for us that we would have never been able to have had we not found them. And they really are like a family in their own right. I mean, they are a group of people who have this unique illness that goes undiagnosed that most people don't know how to manage and treat. And so we definitely are family resources. And I would really encourage anybody who has a question about, you know, what is FH, or do maybe I have FH, I would really encourage them to go to the FHFoundation.org and take a look around and see, you know, how they can be a part of this, or, you know, if there's something that might be helpful to them the way it was to us.
Kristen and Chad, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will continue. And Chad, from what I understand, if left untreated, people with FH have 20 times the risk of developing early aggressive heart disease. But given that it's not a typical part of our conversation, what are some of the symptoms, if you will, that folks might experience that would suggest to them to at least check it out?
I'll let Chad kind of talk about the symptoms since he personally experienced them, but I want to point out that A saying that we often hear in the FH Foundation is you never find an individual with FH, you always find a family with FH. So I think it's really important to pay attention to your family history. You know, if your dad had heart disease, if your mom had heart disease, you know, and if you have siblings who have heart disease, that's a good indication that you may have FH, because it's always in families, not individuals.
Okay.
So that's a good starting point. But, you know, I guess as heart disease progresses, or if you were never treated or recognized, then Chad has some, you know, may have some.
Yeah. I mean, like, as far as some of the symptoms, I guess it would be maybe discomfort, I guess, in your thoracic, your mid-chest. Some of the basic symptoms, I guess, with heart disease, the angina, shortness of breath. For me, mine was different. I didn't have any discomfort in my chest or anything. Like I said, it was always in my left side and my rib cage. So I guess the symptoms can be different from patient to patient, but I guess any discomfort, any shortness of breath, that should be some kind of alarm signal to anybody that something is going on, something is wrong, and just, you know, just go to the doctor, please.
And that might be, you know, that I was going to say that some of those symptoms are later stage. Like Chad was at the point where he needed bypass surgery when he had those symptoms. So I think having your cholesterol checked regularly may be a good indication before you get to that point. You know, it depends on how high your cholesterol is and if it's responding to medication. Those might be indicators too. But it's always important to talk to your physician, because everybody's different and they can give you the best guidance.
And certainly, one of the things to be clear about is that if you have these discomforts and you're young, you cannot dismiss, well, I'm too young for this to be the case, so I can ignore it, it'll go away, or the many things that we tend to tell ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can vouch for that. I did it. I had the symptoms, and I went on until... Like Kristen said, I couldn't even walk to my car at some point. So eventually it knocked me to my knees. And at that point I was like, yes, I finally bowed down and said something is wrong. But I would say to anybody, don't be like me. Don't take it that far. Like I said, if you feel something is wrong, any discomfort, just go get checked out.
The experience that you had, Chad, of not being able to walk to your car, what was that? Were you having pain? Where was the pain? Where was the difficulty?
The pain was actually my left side in my rib,
okay.
In my rib cage. It was just like somebody was basically just punching me in my side after maybe 20 feet of walking, 30 feet of walking. Like I said, I was we was on college campuses, and I couldn't walk from my class to the parking lot to get in my car. So very, very, very scary and uncomfortable moments.
Absolutely. And in fact, a man with FH has a 50% chance of having a heart attack before the age of 50. And we just, you know, as you and Kristen are both saying, we don't think about that. And if you have FH, each of your children has a 50% chance of having it as well. So there are all kinds of reasons to be really to pay attention to what's going on with you and with your body.
Yes.
And right, and in Chad's case, had he known, you know, had we known about FH when he was a young child, he would have recognized that his father had it, you know, and so he would have been tested as a young child and possibly never even made it to this point, which is why we're so proactive, because if you recognize that it's possible in your family, it's really important to get your children tested so that they will never have to get to this point. They can have early treatment and lifelong treatment so that they won't have this progression.
Talk about the concerns for your children. I know that you've had one child tested and will continue to do so. If one parent has FH, is it a guarantee that the child or the children are likely to have it, or is it not?
It's a 50% chance. that they will have it. So that's why it's important to get them tested, because it's really a 1 out of 2 chance that they'll have it. And, some children will show signs earlier than others. So that's another reason why it's important to continue to test them. And, you never really feel out of the woods. I know that's how I feel. Like, we can, early on, it looked like our son had markers for FH. And that's why the lipidologist said it's important to test it every year, because, we're not sure where it will show up or if it will show up. So we have to monitor it closely and not just say, oh, well, it was good this year. Let's mm-hmm. turn a blind eye and 5 years later, check it and it's elevated. So that 50% chance really means that we have to be diligent no matter what, to be honest, until we know otherwise.
The idea that you have to be diligent no matter what, people live with that kind of a thought in their head for any number of reasons. How do you live with that thought and not allow it to overtake how you are thinking about yourself or how you're thinking about the health of your children?
Chad, I know that, he worries probably as much or if not more than I do, because he knows what it's like. I worry that they have to go through it or that I have to see them go through what I've seen Chad go through. But I know that he has a different perspective since he has gone through it himself and knows, that
just,
he may not want his children
living,
to have to go
yeah.
through it.
Just living through it, I guess, with my dad, like I said, I can remember not even knowing it was FH, but, my dad coming home at 8 years old and just going through life with it. And, I just would never want my kids to, I don't want them to have to experience that, at all in life. So that's why we're being so proactive and monitoring these guys, because I just don't want them to have that same lifestyle, the worrying. It's kind of hard to see your dad, your hero, live with a disease like that and just not understand why. We're just being very proactive because we just don't want our kids to live that lifestyle.
And it's particularly difficult when the medical profession is perhaps not as aware as they need to be and wind up blaming the patient in essence for being a patient.
Right. It's been really, really frustrating. I mean, there are times that Chad has been in the ER, like you mentioned, and they bring residents in and talk about, ask him, have you had too much McDonald's? He's been drug tested before. And it's not one in particular, but lots of medical professionals have often, made us feel like there's something we're doing wrong. And, now we're more empowered and we're much more comfortable with the knowledge that we have from the FH Foundation, so that we're empowered to say, no, this is what it is. This is how it impacts them. Here's some information. And we're in turn educating the provider so that Chad can get the best care, but also that they don't encounter someone else and give that same response. Because it's a little devastating and frustrating to go through. You're in the hospital already, fearful of your life, basically, and then have to deal with that is very hard.
And are the doctors literally saying, you ate too much fast food, this must be your fault?
Oh, yes. The doctor, word for word, tell me, man, you're really eating too much McDonald's. I could never. It was so funny, it infuriated me, because it's you're already not feeling good. You're in the emergency room.
Right.
You're having chest pains. And it's like the doctor is like, you're taking a jab at me and I'm coming to you for help. And it's like, it's just very frustrating and devastating,
Oh, of course. One less McDonald's, one less hamburger, and you probably wouldn't be here is essentially what they're saying.
Right.
Talk about the FH Foundation and talk too about what you would like to see happen just in terms of the medical community so that they would know more about this, the existence of this illness.
Well, I can say that, the FH Foundation does offer plenty of resources and education for medical professionals. We just went to a scientific session that they do annually. That was amazing. I mean, it was wonderful for us as advocates and patients, but there were also so many medical professionals there who were interested in learning more. So I feel like there's a movement happening so that more professionals will understand this. But, there are resources available for healthcare providers, not just patients, on the fhfoundation.org. So I think empowering them or just having a voice as a patient or someone who thinks you may be affected and mentioning just the word familial hypercholesterolemia to providers will start to help people understand what it is and that it's not something that patients have brought on themselves, but is that it's a real genetic disorder that is just vastly underdiagnosed, and we want people to not be underdiagnosed anymore. We want people to recognize it.
And, even if it was something that you had brought on yourself, that's not the thing to say to somebody lying in a hospital bed, quite frankly. That's just my view. But it certainly also speaks to the importance of getting your family history and sharing as much of it as you can with the doctors. I think about people who perhaps have been adopted or have lost touch with their family. They don't know a family history to tell, though.
Right. And that's, a great point. I know, for example, I'm adopted. So, some people don't have the opportunity to know that. But I think another thing that in hindsight would have clued us in was that Chad was on statins and he was on supplements and he was watching his diet and exercising and his cholesterol still was not going down. So I think that could have given us an indication that his cholesterol was so high and not responding that, it's something else going on here. So if, if that is a situation, it's a good time to maybe mention familial hypercholesterolemia. And is this something that's affecting me?
Chad, what is your lifestyle like today? Are there special things that you do or don't do as a result of having FH?
I continue to take my medications. And as far as medications go, I guess treatment is kind of different from everybody. I guess everybody would maybe need their own special cocktail medication that works for them.
Okay.
So like now I have my special little cocktail of medications that I take every day. And they're actually working for me. So I just continue to, take my medications and, live life to the fullest. Like since I've been sick, that's one thing that we've learned. I'm not going to just sit back and mope anymore. Like we just grab life by the horns and move forward and take it for every moment that we can. So now I really don't have that many worries. I'm feeling good. I'm taking my medication. It's working. And, I'm really enjoying life now.
That sounds like a wonderful thing. Kristen, any guidance you would want to offer to folks?
I would say, and I've said it throughout the interview, but please be empowered, get the information. If you have a question or if you're not sure, you think you may know someone, definitely visit the fhfoundation.org and get some information on what does this mean? How does it affect me? Where's a provider who would know how to treat this, which is really important to me, is because if you think you have it, you don't necessarily want to go to someone who may not know how to help you. So the fhfoundation.org has resources to help you locate a provider who is knowledgeable in this area. So empowering yourself with the education, but also having a voice when you are in with a medical provider, remember that you're your best advocate. And for your loved one, like I am for Chad, and I try to be always, because sometimes he's laying in a hospital bed taking pain medication and can't advocate for himself. So someone has to make sure that you're getting the best care that you should be.
But, one of the things that continues to be a real challenge for folks, although perhaps less so than in years past, is the idea of really questioning the doctor, really advocating for yourself or for your loved one, even in the face of the doctor saying something like, stop eating hamburgers and you'll be good. It's hard to go to this person who you see as a medical professional and challenge what they're saying.
Yeah, it is, but you know, like for me, you have to look at the ultimate goal. It's your life. So, you know, I think you have to come out with all stops and be as progressive as you can. So, you know, if your doctor is not, I guess, understanding or being as proactive as you want to be about the disease, I mean, you have more than any right to go find another doctor, you know, that's suitable and that understands your situation. So, I mean, you don't have to stop with one doctor. I mean, you have plenty of options. And like I said, you just have to look at the ultimate goal. It's your life. You know, it's the what kind of lifestyle you want to live. And I think everybody wants to live a comfortable and healthy lifestyle. So, I mean, I think you would be everybody needs to be very proactive with their life.
Well, and I think, Chad, what you've said about looking at the ultimate goal is your life. And, Kristen, mm-hmm. you've talked about the FH Foundation and the fact that they do have doctors that they can refer people to if someone is believing that this is an issue for them and they want more guidance. So even if your own doctor is saying, no, that's not an issue, there's a place to go to get a second opinion.
Yes, absolutely. And that's just been our experience, which is, you know, we've had wonderful doctors, so I don't want it to seem like we haven't, but at the same time, we went through a period where we weren't so vocal, and that brought us to a place that wasn't so great. So now we're just more proactive, and we view the doctors more as a partner in Chad's care. So we are on the same playing field. We're both, you know, trying to get to that same goal Chad mentioned.
Excellent. Excellent. I want to thank both of you so much for joining us today on this edition of Mind Talk. You've really, I think, opened many of our eyes to the existence of this, but also the fact that the FH Foundation is such a wonderful resource.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
And folks, thank you for joining us today on this edition of Mind Talk. Mind Talk is brought to you daily as an educational public service, and it is not intended to replace any work that you might choose to do with a medical, mental health, or other professional. Mind Talk is produced by Jim Brown and 26x2 Communications. You can listen to Mind Talk on demand by going to myndtalk.org. You can download the Mind Talk app from iTunes or Google Play. There are lots of places you can download Mind Talk from iTunes. So you've got a lot of options. If you have any questions or comments about today's program or any program, please do send an email to me at Pamela, PAMELA@mindtalk.org. Again, that's myndtalk.org. And folks, remember always, if it's unacceptable, it's unacceptable. You take care.